Chapter 5. Preparing for Short-Range Air Defense Operations. Following the planning of the operation, the next step prepares a SHORAD unit to execute that operation. Preparation consists of those activities performed by units and soldiers to improve their ability to execute an operation. ADP 5-0. A SHORAD battery may operate as part of an ADA task force or as a separate unit supporting a designated asset, with its platoons assigned to defend elements within that asset. This chapter focuses on the SHORAD battery and platoons as separate units and their preparatory considerations and actions in support of a BCT and its subordinate maneuver battalions. For information on SHORAD units operating as part of an ADA task force, see FM 3-01. Introduction. The time that is left between finalizing the planning, with a commander's decision including the commander's intent and concept of operations, and the actual start of the execution of the operation determines how extensively and thorough the preparation can be performed. Therefore, the SHORAD battery commander needs to develop and communicate the commander's intent for preparation activities succinctly, but with sufficient detail, to ensure that the concept is understood by the battery and platoon leaders. All activities during the preparation phase are to validate the planning results by selecting and assessing positions for sensors, weapon systems, headquarters, and C2 nodes, and routes and areas for such sites and their supporting elements, for example, maintenance areas. In addition, a visual inspection of all terrain aspects in the actual and predicted weather conditions will contribute to validating an adversary's projected COAs and the commander's own developed COAs. All validating results from this preparation phase are used to review, refine, and adjust, as necessary, the initial plans and develop more detailed taskings for the subordinate and supporting units. The need for continuous coordination between the SHORAD battery and its supported unit or asset, the SHORAD battalion, adjacent ADA units, and other air control elements cannot be overemphasized. Initial coordination conducted during the planning phase is a prelude to that which must be performed throughout the preparatory phase and subsequent execution of the operations. Coordination. During planning, coordination of efforts between the SHORAD unit and the supported asset is established by the integration of the SHORAD battery commander into the BCT's operational planning process. The battery commander and platoon leaders continue interacting with their supported counterparts to advise them of the air defense capabilities they will bring in support, the current and projected air threat situation, and the local air defense posture. Commanders share and synchronize plans, commanders' intents, and operational concepts. SHORAD leaders must be cognizant of the friendly and enemy ground situation, while the supported commanders must be informed of the air environment and pertinent air defense directives. Situational information must identify who is operating where, when, and in what strength. SHORAD commanders must advise the supported commanders of any logistical support requirements other than SHORAD system-specific items, and potential needs for force protection beyond the inherent capabilities in the SHORAD unit. The more frequent and thorough the interplay between the supported and supporting commanders, the more likely the potential for mission success. The battery commander must be in constant communications with the supported unit's Air Defense Airspace Management Cell. In the case of a maneuver BCT, Maneuver Enhancement Brigade, Field Artillery Brigade, Combat Aviation Brigade, Division Artillery, or with other ADA personnel, if present, in a fixed sites operations center, such as a base defense operations center. The Air Defense Airspace Management Cell, or its counterpart, is the conduit for air defense information within the supported asset. Cell ADA personnel keep the battery commander informed of current and future brigade operations. The battery commander, in turn, advises the supported asset of the SHORAD unit's ongoing operations, capabilities, and limitations. The battery commander develops the air defense plan for the supported unit and coordinates with the Air Defense Airspace Management Cell to ensure that the plan is nested with supported units' operation plan. The ATOM cell or operation center personnel may also be aware of another AMD unit or units operating within the assets area and will so advise the SHORAD battery commander. The battery commander should coordinate with that commander to synchronize and ensure mutually supporting operations. Reconnaissance. Reconnaissance provides information about the AO. Preparation activities begin with a reconnaissance of the route to the area. The available preparation time and resources will determine to a large extent how extensive and detailed reconnaissance activities can be performed, and therefore influence the choice of reconnaissance type. There are three types of reconnaissance: map, aerial, and ground. Map reconnaissance. Map reconnaissance is the fastest way to conduct a reconnaissance and will always precede any other type of reconnaissance. When geographical limitations hamper physical reconnaissance, map reconnaissance is the only way. The positions of SHORAD sensors and weapon systems are plotted on a map and represent the best locations for providing air defense. Detailed physical and digital maps will provide specific information on terrain, buildings, roads, rivers, forests, and other terrestrial and man-made features. The most current and detailed digital and physical maps can be requested from the unit's space element. Overlapping current imagery and terrain data, space elements can provide the most accurate maps possible, even if the ground topography has changed due to a recent battle or geographic event. The platoon leader must consider the AMD employment guidelines and tenets, weather, and mission variables in this initial reconnaissance. Alternate positions should be identified at this time. After the weapon positions are plotted on a map, checkpoints and primary and alternate routes are selected and plotted. The platoon leader identifies a reconnaissance route by conducting a map reconnaissance to the proposed area. Positions selected by map reconnaissance must be confirmed by additional reconnaissance if the tactical situation allows. Aerial reconnaissance. If time is limited and an aircraft is available, the battery commander or the reconnaissance officer, generally a platoon leader, can see the terrain. Aerial reconnaissance provides the fastest way to see the terrain, but is likely unavailable to SHORAD leaders. Even when available, aerial reconnaissance has significant limitations. For example, fields of fire, ground conditions, and local threat cannot be determined from the air. In addition, aircraft activity, to include that of UASs, may expose friendly interest in a particular area. Ground reconnaissance. Ground reconnaissance is an on-site examination of the terrain. A ground reconnaissance is the most accurate and desirable type of reconnaissance, though the slowest method. The route can be evaluated for roadworthiness, obstacles, choke points, and key terrain. Firing positions, fields of fire, and air avenues of approach can be analyzed. However, ground reconnaissance is time-consuming and dangerous. Covering the distances over potential routes and checking alternate positions takes time. The small reconnaissance party could be subjected to threat observation en route or at the objective area. Map reconnaissance is an important part of the preparation of the actual ground reconnaissance. The reconnaissance party will benefit from a detailed and thorough map reconnaissance. Ground reconnaissance is performed to select the best SHORAD positions, march routes, start points, release points, checkpoints, sensor positions, and communication sites. The SHORAD battery commander or platoon leader should coordinate with the local maneuver commander and the supported element S3 to determine what areas maneuver units plan to occupy or when in support of a fixed asset, with the on-site commander and base defense operations center to identify the best locations for SHORAD weapon systems and sensors. Mutual agreement must be established to make the best use of the available terrain. The reconnaissance officer prepares for a ground reconnaissance by, at a minimum, selecting personnel and equipment to conduct the reconnaissance and assigning tasks to the reconnaissance party personnel. The unit SOP establishes the normal composition and responsibilities of the party, determining in detail the elements, positions, areas, routes, and related terrain considerations. Determining the priority order of the elements to be in place and setting up the timeline accordingly. Determining the products that must be developed as a result of this reconnaissance. Products should include a list of sensor and weapon locations, sketches of these locations, sketches of the areas and routes, and identification of restrictive terrain locations. Coordinating instructions on C2, communications, and rendezvous locations with team members and higher headquarters, SHORAD battalion or battery. The higher unit and or supporting unit can order a back brief on previous reconnaissance in the area, developing and issuing a reconnaissance plan/order with all of the above information. As soon as preparations are complete, the reconnaissance party leaves. It ensures that the selected primary route meets equipment requirements, height, weight, width, and slope to be traversed, is passable, and avoids possible ambush locations. Road guides are positioned as required. As the reconnaissance party approaches the new location, the team leader must ascertain if the tentative map selected locations will allow immediate occupation for accomplishment of the mission. Ground reconnaissance verifies whether the terrain provides good natural concealment, has access roads for primary and alternate routes into the position, provides good observation, fields of fire, and sectors of search, and has firm ground that will support the weight of the equipment. Defense design. Defense design for ADA is a strategy for defense based on a compiled list of tasks required to protect against air and missile threats in support of operations. SHORAD units are positioned to best protect the designated assets against the projected air threats in accordance with detailed defense designs. Sensor and weapon system placements are selected to maximize surveillance, tracking, and engagements. In designing a defense, sensors are positioned to provide surveillance and fire control tracking capability sufficient to protect assigned assets and prevent gaps in the coverage. Weapon systems and teams are positioned to optimize the defense of the defended assets, enabling lethal coverage over the assigned assets and extending firepower through as much of the defense coverage area as possible. The AMD employment tenets and the latest intelligence assessments inform the defense design. Considerations for the defense design should also include the quantity, capabilities, and potential locations of combined arms for self-defense teams. Interspersing these teams with SHORAD systems will further enhance defenses. Selecting positions. Site selection begins upon receipt of a movement order. Careful consideration must be given to ensure that the selected positions for the sensors, launchers, and C2 nodes are oriented in the direction of the expectant air threats, are capable of maintaining required communications with the battery, and supported assets, C2 elements, and above all, can collectively provide the required defense. The need for dispersion of equipment, camouflage throughout the site, appropriate deception measures, and operational security must also be addressed. Sensors must be carefully placed to ensure optimal surveillance of the area. Their positioning is generally the first consideration in establishing a defense. Sentinels have a 360-degree capability to detect and classify aerial threats. Lightweight counter-mortar radars in land-based Phalanx weapon system units provide 360-degree detection of RAM threats. See ATPs 3-01.48 and 3-01.60, respectively, for more information on positioning Sentinel and the lightweight counter-mortar radar. Considerations in selecting launcher positions are dependent upon the type of SHORAD weapon to be emplaced, asset to be defended, and the threat types. Positions should have clear observation and primary and secondary fields of fire, communications with the platoon command post, and early warning sources, and available cover and concealment to facilitate survivability. Launchers positioned to counter potential rotary and fixed-wing threats are generally near projected air avenues of approach. These positions may require adjustments if UASs are also a threat, as UASs can surveil or attack from any direction. M-SHORAD and Avenger Systems and Stinger Manned Portable Air Defense, hereafter referred to simply as Stinger, teams require frequent movements once they commence engagements, as the firing signature of their missiles discloses their positions. Units should have primary, alternate, and supplementary positions with planned routes between them. A primary position is one from which the M-SHORAD, Avenger, or Stinger weapon system intends to accomplish its tactical mission. An alternate position is one to which the system moves when the primary position becomes untenable or unsuitable for carrying out the assigned mission. The primary positions should generally be near the plotted positions in the original defense design, at distances determined by clear line of sight, security, and survivability considerations. If not near the plotted positions, the defense may need to be redesigned. Communications must also be maintained with the other squads in the platoon. The land-based phalanx weapon systems, limited mobility, and emplacement requirements may restrict its positioning options. Its position should be close to, but set back from, the perimeter of the base or other static asset which it defends. Its communication requirements include a linkage to the base defense operation center. The primary consideration in selecting the headquarters or C2 node site is the ability to communicate with the supported asset and higher and lower echelon SHORAD units, dependent upon terrain and the locations of the other SHORAD and supported assets elements. The headquarters or C2 node should be positioned where it can best control the SHORAD units and communicate with the supported element. Other considerations for the site selection include available cover and concealment, alternate entrance and exit routes, and defensibility against ground attacks. After selecting the positions, the platoon leader ensures the ground guides know exactly where all the vehicles and equipment should be emplaced. Preparation should include marking the location of each major piece of equipment. Everyone at the new position is given the new challenge and password, information on any known enemy activity in the area, and the approximate arrival time, location, and order of vehicles for the main party. If time is limited and the unit must move before the reconnaissance party returns, road guide positions are selected, and soldiers necessary for these tasks are included in the reconnaissance team. Actual inspection of the chosen routes and positions on the ground is desirable to confirm selections made from the map or to make necessary adjustments in plans. Key leaders provide the results of the reconnaissance and relay appropriate instructions for the movement of the main body. The platoon sergeant organizes the vehicles as ordered by the platoon leader. Platoon vehicles use movement techniques dictated by the factors of METTC, tactics, techniques, and procedures, and the unit SOP. Occupying positions. The occupation of positions should be coordinated with the supported unit to avoid mutual interference. When the mission-configured platoon arrives at the position, all vehicles move off the road into the position without halting and without closing the interval between vehicles. The unit SOP should state the requirements and the priorities for occupying positions. The first consideration is emplacing the sensor or sensors. Sensors are emplaced on terrain that provides the best, longest-range line of sight in all directions. Sentinels should be positioned within the supported assets AO, along likely enemy air avenues of approach to surveil, detect, and provide early warning. Sentinel should not be collocated with any command post due to an enemy's ability to target emission signatures. The sentinel's rotating antenna must remain clear of obstructions while operating to optimize the radar tracking range and air picture reliability. The lightweight counter-mortar radar should be emplaced on a hill, rooftop, or flat plain. Any radar's performance is degraded when placed near obstructions, such as buildings, trees, vehicles, or power lines. The radar should be emplaced no closer than 1,000 meters from one another, and operating frequencies should be separated as much as possible. The SHORAD platoon leader uses the ADA employment tenets to position launchers in accordance with METTC. The most important tenets for the MSHORAD platoon leader to consider are normally early engagement, weighted coverage, and defense in depth. The Avenger platoon leader stresses mutual support or overlapping coverage when possible to enhance engagement opportunities. If fixed-wing aircraft are considered a major threat, the platoon may weight coverage to the most likely air avenue or avenues of approach. The land-based phalanx weapon system platoon leader positions the system launchers in pairs with mutual support if possible, or overlapping fires between pairs as a minimum for RAM engagements, given the relatively short range of the land-based phalanx weapon system. The land-based phalanx weapon system should be emplaced inside the perimeter, but no closer than 500 meters from the perimeter when possible. Gun system emplacement requires relatively flat, plus or minus 5% slope, on hard-packed ground or pad. During emplacement, the unit will perform gun system mapping to ensure that no coverage areas are in the no-fire zone. Stinger teams are generally positioned along the most likely air avenues of approach. Care must be taken in positioning MSHORAD, Avenger, Stinger systems, to avoid placing them near terrain features easily recognized from the air. Positions are more vulnerable to enemy fires once spotted near an identifiable object. When all squads have reported that they are in position and capable of providing coverage of their assigned sectors, the platoon leader will report the platoon ready for action to the supported force commander. Once in place, SHORAD units should implement passive defense measures, such as camouflage and protective works, and continuously improve them as long as they remain at a location. Crew chiefs begin improving positions as dictated by the SOP or additional orders. Position improvements include using camouflage nets and supplementing them, where possible, with indigenous materials, for example, branches, leaves, and snow. These materials should be from the vicinity of the squad, so they will blend naturally into the surroundings. Preparing deliberate fighting positions. Providing cover for M-SHORAD and Avenger systems by having the vehicles dug in, hold down for protection from blast, fragmentation, and small arms. Engineer support is required and should be requested through the supported unit. If such support is not available, the vehicles should be placed in defilade positions. Developing alternate and supplementary positions. Work is initiated as early as possible. A total security plan is then placed in effect. Positioning SHORAD units with maneuver forces or on installations allows the units to take advantage of security measures and the security forces of those assets. However, regardless of those added forces, the platoon must provide its own local security. This includes establishing observation points, positioning automatic weapons overlooking the main avenue of approach, and alternate routes into the position, and initiating other security positions around the area to preclude gaps in the perimeter. A sector of fire with a primary target line is assigned to each squad, and communications are established with all the positions. Range cards should be prepared. At a minimum, range cards should indicate ranges to critical points on all likely avenues of approach, dead spaces, and likely targets, air and ground. Obstacles enhance security by blocking, disrupting, or canalizing enemy attacks. All obstacles must be coordinated with the supported assets, S3, and the engineer officer. Other measures taken should also be integrated with the ground defense plan of the supported asset. Emission control measures should be developed and initiated when directed to reduce the electromagnetic signatures of the sensors and command posts. Rehearsals. Units conduct combat rehearsals to gain agility, ensure synchronization, increase individual and team initiative, and improve the proficiency of a force. Rehearsals are a critical part of the preparation and supervision steps in troop leading procedures and occur throughout troop leading steps. Commanders and leaders can determine the validity and suitability of their plan's concept of the operation, in addition to identifying any shortcomings in the concept not previously recognized while performing their rehearsals. Rehearsals allow leaders and their soldiers to practice key aspects of the concept of operation. These actions help soldiers orient themselves to their environment and other units before executing the operation, and build a lasting mental picture of the sequence of key actions within the operation. Rehearsals are the commander's tool to ensure subordinate leaders understand the commander's intent and the concept of operations. SHORAD units and leaders participate in the supported assets rehearsals as well as conduct their own rehearsals. The challenge for SHORAD leaders and soldiers is to understand the SHORAD rehearsal plan and schedule, as well as the supported asset rehearsal plan and schedule. The rehearsal execution section addresses rehearsal sequences and SHORAD rehearsal execution considerations, as well as the supported assets rehearsal plan and schedule. During final coordination, the supported force conducts its briefing and rehearsal. Following the supported force rehearsal, a SHORAD rehearsal is conducted. The leaders should then update their air defense plans or decision support matrix based on changes from the various rehearsals and concept of support for critical logistics. Planning and preparations are crucial to successful rehearsals. Rehearsal goals must be clearly defined and achievable, and individual responsibilities for conducting rehearsals must be identified. Appendix D provides rehearsal guidelines for SHORAD leaders and their staff. It focuses on preparing SHORAD commanders and leaders to plan for and conduct effective rehearsals. Rehearsal preparations are addressed with a focus on checklists to make rehearsal execution run smoothly. The rehearsal execution section addresses rehearsal sequences and SHORAD rehearsal execution considerations. Each type of rehearsal is defined, followed by SHORAD considerations. Training. Training is a fundamental part of preparations and the means to the successful conduct of rehearsals and ultimately missions. SHORAD commanders must maintain vigorous training programs that sustain individual soldier skills and team proficiency. Training is the cornerstone of readiness. To achieve and maintain a high degree of readiness, SHORAD units should train in the most efficient and effective manner possible. SHORAD leaders should focus their unit training efforts to maximize training proficiency, evaluating, assessing, recording, and reporting unit training proficiency and training readiness requires they have a firm understanding of the training fundamentals in ADP 7.0. SHORAD gunnery tables provide guidance for individual and collective training and the required certifications. Gunnery tables are prescriptive, while still allowing flexibility in selecting standardized engagements from a menu to enable achievement of training objectives within the scope of the commander's intent. Gunnery is a continuous process based on the unit's mission set and proficiency level to build and maintain lethal sections and formations. Gunnery must be incorporated into training at all levels with the necessary frequency and repetition to enable mastery. SHORAD leaders must focus their unit's efforts to optimize available time, ensuring units train the right tasks to meet mission requirements. Commanders look for every opportunity to coach and teach their subordinates. They give their subordinate leaders the commander's intent and the resources, including time, to plan, prepare, and conduct the training necessary to develop unit proficiency. Commander involvement makes a quantitative and qualitative difference in unit training and leader development. Training should also be conducted with supported and supporting units. Leaders and soldiers should understand the supported unit's plans and ensure that SHORAD operations are closely coordinated with and integrated into them. In addition, conducting collective training with supporting sustainment units will facilitate successful and expedited execution of such tasks as resupply, rearming, refueling, and medical evacuation. Orders and appendices. To execute a plan, the SHORAD commander, staff, and subordinate leaders must have a thorough understanding of the different types of ADA orders, annexes, and appendices received and those to be issued. The commander and subordinate leaders must be able and trained to organize the thoughts and concepts that were collaboratively developed and convey them in a concise and informative manner to their subordinates and any supporting units. Appendix B discusses the different types of orders and appendices that the SHORAD leader and staff use. Formats and examples are also included.